It is my honor and my privilege to introduce our keynote speaker this morning. For more than 50 years, Deacon Al Harris has served at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Chicago. He and his father served as the first father-son deacon team. Deacon Al also leads many private devotional groups as well as Bible studies. He has served as a member of our prayer breakfast committee for many years. Deacon Al has led an incredible life. He and his wife, Darlene, live in Wheaton, where they raised their family. Al has also served as a big brother to three children. He is a veteran of the Vietnam War and has an incredible Christmas story to share with you. Please give a warm welcome to Deacon Al Harris.
Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, give me the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And as you heard earlier, it may seem like a battlefield out there in the world today and in America, because all you see on the television is death here, death there. Seems like there is a war on people of color. There is a war on police. There is a war on firemen. There seems to be a war everywhere. But we have to understand, this is a time of year when everybody's giving. If you notice, they're setting up places for computers, for food, for clothing. We're doing exactly what it said in the New Testament. And when you do that, you're doing the Lord's will. And that's what he wants us to do, is to do the Lord's will. So that, I'm going to use some acronyms, and it'll just show that what I always say when I pray generally is, this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And when we say rejoice, we mean for you to have joy. And joy stands for Jesus first, others second, and you third. And I will guarantee you, if you don't have it in that order, you will have no joy in your life. Obviously, Jesus is the reason for the season, and that's why we're here. And the Bible tells us, and Bible is also an acronym, basic instruction before leaving Earth. And you will leave, okay? It's the one appointment you have that you won't be late, you will be on time, and you will make. I sold life insurance, so obviously I talked about death. And life insurance is exactly what it says. It's life insurance. You use it while you're alive, because death is going to come, and there's not much you can do about that. It's going to be here. And like we said with Micah, we read that in the Old Testament, where it just says, the Lord has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, you got my bio, and I had a blessed life, okay? I have three kids. My daughter was a professional model, ran track. My sons both ran track. My son still has the record for the hurdles in the state of Illinois. And Dan was talking about hurdles. They just keep coming, and they keep coming. My other son, my youngest son, ran in the Olympics in Beijing. So I got to go there, and I got to walk on the Great Wall of China. And these are momentous things that, you know, you put on your bucket list, but I got to do them. Now, unfortunately, my wife didn't want to take the trip because she doesn't like to fly. I went to Wheaton College, and we have a lot of people from Wheaton College here. I studied religion, as we all do, and my other major was psychology. I ran track, played basketball, and played football. And I'm just going to bring up my football experience. The track experience, I did run in the Pan Am Games. We ran in the Olympic Stadium in 1968. We were the first ones to do the tartan track. I'd never run on a tartan track before. I used to run on cinders and glass. I have the scars to show it. But I ran in the 400 hurdles. Nine Olympic teams were running against us. I was in first place until the last hurdle. I hit the last hurdle. And our hurdles were such that they were stationary. They didn't fall.
The hurdlers today, you can run through the hurdles. We could not run through the hurdles. I hit that hurdle and I flipped on the track. I tried to get up and I just couldn't get up. I was hurt. I limped over the finish line, but I finished. One thing about athletics, and this is why I wanted my kids to be in athletics, you learn teamwork. My other acronym, TEAM, T-E-A-M. TEAM stands for Together, Each Achieves More. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you are part of a team. And if you work together, there is no hurdle you can't face and give an answer to it. My other thing is 5 P's. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. In athletics, you better be prepared. As the scriptures have told us, we best be prepared. So when it said, when did I feed you when you were hungry? When did I give you computers? When did I set up labs? When did I do all this? And the Lord said, when you did it for the least of these, you did it to me. Now what he meant was everybody, not just the least, those people that you think don't have anything. You could be wealthy and don't have Jesus in your life. These are the least of these. So you are the example for them. And remember, you're part of a team too. We're all part of a team. And we were talking at the table and I was just saying, you know, in the beginning there were only two. So literally, you're all my brothers and sisters. You're all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Anyway, back to football. My coach was Harvey Krauser. We called him Eagle Eye. And he was best friends with George Halas, Chicago Bears, Vince Lombardi, Green Bay Packers. And so obviously at all of our football games, there were scouts from both the teams. When I graduated, I got a letter to go play with the Green Bay Packers. And I know when you saw the name Al Harris, you thought, oh geez, we're gonna see Al Harris from the Chicago Bears. He's a lot smaller than I thought. Because he's a big guy. I met him. He came to my house because my daughter knew him. And I got to meet him and we talked about family. Franco Harris. Harris. He's kin to me too. His father was from Jackson, Mississippi, where all the Harrises were from. Went to Italy, married an Italian lady, and then they had Franco. So I thought my son was going to play with Pittsburgh, but he didn't. Anyway, I was commissioned as a second lieutenant. So my calling was I couldn't go play with the Packers. I had to go to Vietnam. Now, before I went, they give you a choice of where you want to go. In your assignments, I chose Hawaii. I chose California and the Philippines. And when I got my orders, it said Vietnam, and I'm going, where the heck is Vietnam? And then I remembered Vietnam was French Indochina, and I read comic books, and Terry and the Pirates were in French Indochina. He flew a C-47 with Puff the Maga Dragon, which was an electric machine gun. And I thought, oh no, what am I in for now? So here we go. We're off to Vietnam. We didn't go by plane, we went by ship. It took us 30 days to get there. That's why I don't like to cruise anymore. We went through the perfect storm, and if you didn't see that movie, that we went through it. We stopped 3 days in Hawaii. I stayed awake for 3 days and three nights. I had a friend in the unit that was Hawaiian, so we went to a luau, the pig and everything, the poi, where everybody was eating out of the dish, great experience. Then we went to Japan, and our ship had civilians on the top levels. So we had a lot of teachers that spoke Japanese, so we got to tour Japan. They spoke the language I didn't, so we had a great time. Then on to the Philippines, and then on to Vietnam. The first night we got to Vietnam, we were going up this mountain, then the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that I was gonna be dead. So we're all digging in the sand, trying to get cover, and I thought to myself, I'm gonna die the first night in Vietnam. And if that wasn't bad enough, it was friendly fire. But the good thing was I could hear the radio. We had the radios you crank, and they called in our position so that they would stop firing on us. And at that moment, the peace came over me, and that's what it says in 2 Timothy 1:7. It just says, God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So I had that at that moment. And we were safe for a while. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of things, but coming up that hill, after the bombing stopped, it was so quiet and it was so dark. And if you want to see what it was like, close your eyes and cover your ears. You couldn't hear anything. You couldn't see anything. And all I heard was thump, 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 whoosh, thump, thump. My heartbeat, I could hear my heartbeat and I could hear the blood in my veins. It scared me to death. I thought, well, I must be dead. So I had to pinch myself. Oh, ouch. I pinched myself really hard just to see if I was still alive. And I was still alive, which was something else in itself. So my prayers were answered. And if you remember, Psalms 91 is the soldier's prayer. And like I said, we're all soldiers because there is a warfare out there. There is a warfare. Now, I had 6 months of heaven and 6 months of hell. While I was in Vietnam, the first 6 months, I stayed in a mansion. I had servants. I was an officer, so I had, you know, privileges. I was able to put on the Bob Hope show, so I got to meet Bob Hope, sat down with him, Ezra Charles, who was a boxer, Joey Heatherton, who was a dancer. So I got to meet them. I got to learn to ride a motorcycle, which I still ride, on Lakeshore Drive. There was a Lakeshore Drive in Vietnam with the white sand beaches, prettiest you've ever seen. And you could ride down this Lakeshore Drive, no cars. It was just unbelievable. The second 6 months, I lived in a tent, camouflaged, stationed with the Korean soldiers. They didn't play. They were there to win this war. They scared me to death because we'd be out on a patrol and we had to watch out for them because they would shoot anything that was moving. But we got over that. We got over that. And if that wasn't bad enough, the last job I had in Vietnam was Graves Registration. I don't know if you know what a C-130 is. It's a big airplane. The whole bed of the plane, over 300 bodies in bags, rocking in unison. And all I could do was cry. And I was going, Lord, why? And at that time, Proverbs 3, 4 and 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I just had to lean on him at that point because I didn't understand why all these people were dead. And they didn't tell us why we were there. Jim Valvano, who was a coach for North Carolina, said this. There's three things you should do in life. Number one is laugh. Scripture tells you laughter is good for the soul. It keeps you focusing on the positive. Number two was just to think. And under think, that means to meditate on the scriptures, to memorize them and study them. Because if thy word have I hid in my heart, then I won't sin against you, is what the scriptures say. So that's what he said. The other thing is, because of Vietnam, I believe in miracles. And you think about it, you're all miracles. And that there's no doubt in my mind, I'm here and you're here because of the grace and mercy of God. Grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. That's why you're here. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what he said. So that's why you're a miracle. That's why we're still here. Now, I gave you grace. Let me give you one other instance of prayer, the soldier's prayer. During World War I, a British commander by the name of Charles Whittlesey, and you can see this on the internet, fought for 4 years, hand-to-hand combat a lot of times. And if you've seen World War I movies, you know how tough that is. Four major battles. And you remember what the Psalms 91 said? 1,000 may fall on the right side, 10,000 on the left side, and no harm cometh unto you. How many people do you think he lost? A regiment, a British regiment, was 645 men. How many people did he lose? Zero. 4 years. I've been in war. I think that most people in office should have been in the army or war so they see death. Once you see death, your whole life changes. you will do anything to avoid it. And that's what the Lord tells you. When you have to, you have to. But if you've seen it, your whole definition of life changes. Anyway, nobody died. And they said, well, what do you think happened? They all memorized Psalms 91. They read it every day. When I was in Vietnam, I was reading everything I could read. There's one thing that you'll find out. There are no atheists in foxholes. Okay? You will grab for anything you can when it comes to death. Because, see, Satan holds that over you as a penalty. So we're all afraid of death. But you know, when the scripture says it is appointed one time for man to die and then the judgment, you're thinking, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. I got to die and then I'm going to get, how does that happen? There's a second death. And when we're talking about when we did all these things for Jesus, I want to be in the book of life. I want to be on that side when they start calling the goats and the sheep and they start separating. That's where I want to be. So when you pray, we have to use Acts. Acts was another program they were talking about. This Acts says adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Adoration to the Lord who brought you here, who woke you up this morning. And if you thought you woke up by yourself, you better start thinking again. What did you do to cause your hearts to beat, your eyes to see, your ears to hear? What did you do? You did absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. The Lord gave you another day. When I say this is a day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it, tomorrow's not promised for any of us. It's not promised. So take care of today. Remember I said proper preparation prevents poor performance. Okay? I want to perform at the top level. Jim Brewer's at my table, played professional basketball and all this stuff. He worked at it. Okay? He worked at it. All of us worked at it. The firemen, the police officers, the government officials. You work at your job to do the best you can to represent the people that put you into office. That's why you're there. That's what teamwork means, working together to do the Lord's will to benefit all, to benefit all. Now, there's a caveat. See, Jesus answers all prayer. My other acronym is ASK, A-S-K. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. See, the Lord wants it this way. He wants you to ask. He knows what you need. But if you don't know what you need, how can you ask? Proper preparation prevents poor performance. I prepare. My wife doesn't like this, but when I got ready to get married, I didn't get married until I was 39 years old. But by that time, I made my list out of what I was looking for in a wife. And I told the Lord, if I can't have what I want, I'll be celibate. That was a hard decision to make. I'd be celibate, okay? But he answered my prayer. But I said, Lord, you know, I'm not too smart when it comes to you talking to me. I said, you're going to have to give me a hint. I roller skate. I was roller skating five nights a week. I ran 7 miles a day, 20 on the weekends. I was busy. It's called sublimation. Sexual energy is used properly somewhere else. But anyway, I made my list. So when the Lord gave me the answer, my wife went down my list. I said, Lord, you were quick. From the time I met my wife to the time we got married was 6 months. Why would I wait a year? Like some people put it off for a year and a year, I might have changed my mind. Now the caveat we were talking about before is this, the Lord answers all prayers. But he says this, if the condition is not right, God says no. It's not going to happen when you ask because the condition is not right. He knows it's not right. If you get it, it's not what you want. That's why they say be careful what you ask for, okay? Number two, if you're not right, God says slow. If I still have malice in my heart and I've been unforgiving, remember when we said in Acts, confession? I have to confess my sins and ask for forgiveness. And like it says here, if the timing is not right, God says slow. If you're not right, God says grow. Get back into your scriptures and start living that way. And when everything's right, God says go. Albert Einstein said this, only a life lived for others is a life worthwhile. And that's what we said before. What did the Lord say? When you do this to others, you do it to me? Albert Einstein knew that. John Wesley writes, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, in all the times you can, to all the people you can, wherever you can. God bless you all. Have a blessed day and Merry Christmas to all of you. And may the Lord be with you. Amen.